There was a quote from Gurudeva on Taka in the last few days that struck me. It says, "Remember, your powers of observation are cultivated by abstinence from excessive talk. That is all you have to do to begin with. Be more silent and observing, not wasting or dissipating this most vital power." This relates to what we were talking about last phase, the fourth dimension of the mind, which is accessed through the fourth chakra, which gives you an overview of your normal thoughts and emotions. Instead of seeing them one at a time, you're seeing them all at once. You have the overview of your processes and can have insights into your mental and emotional patterns, as well as your emotional relations with other people. They become more clear when you look at them from the fourth dimension. That's what we were saying last phase. The key that Gurudeva gave last phase for experiencing the fourth dimension was to feel the energy in the spine, the spiritual energy in the spine. When you center yourself in that, then you're in the fourth dimension. This is another key, which is abstinence from excessive talk. There's a related statement by Gurudeva, which is, "Think before you speak, and speak only that which is true, kind, helpful, and necessary." Remember that one? The question sometimes comes up, what is necessary? From one point of view, no talk is necessary. You write notes all day or something. Necessary means that which is expected in a socially expected by the situation. That's what necessary means. If you were to speak less than that, you would stand out as being unusual, different. Though different kinds of social situations require a different amount of talk. If you're going to a certain kind of party, you're supposed to talk a lot. If you're at work, you're not supposed to talk a lot with the other people working. It would be considered a distraction in many places of work. Thus, what becomes necessary, true, kind, helpful, and necessary, is defined in that way. This is also pointing out that silence is more than the environment. We have many individuals come here and say, "Oh, what a peaceful place. It's so peaceful. I feel so peaceful here. Just hear nature. I hear all the birds," and so forth. And they're uplifted because of that. But they're also quieting their thoughts by being here. In other words, this isn't their normal environment. It's easier to quiet down your everyday thoughts when you're somewhere different than your normal environment. When you're in your normal environment, it catalyzes you to think about your normal responsibilities, catalyzes you to try and solve the ongoing problems you've been thinking about. Why? Because you're in your normal environment. So therefore, even though this is a very peaceful place, we have to have the mind quiet in order to enjoy that peace. And to have the mind quiet, it's helpful to practice abstinence from excessive talk. There's an important lesson in merging with Shiva recently, form and formlessness. It's a little deep, but it's an important point worth being clear on. We must caution each and all not to think of the external mind as God, which would be a self-deception. Man's personality or individuality is not God, neither is the ego, the intellect, or the emotions. Though the unenlightened sometimes make this mistake, I believe you will readily ferret out the difference. Parashiva, the self-God, lies resident at the core of man's existence, far beyond the reach of the external phases of consciousness. Yet these exist only because that exists, the timeless, causeless, spaceless God Shiva beyond the mind. The other perfection inherent in the soul of man is Satchit Ananda, being, consciousness, and bliss. When mind force, thought force, and the vrittis, or waves of the mind, are quiescent, the outer mind subdues, and the mind of the soul shines forth. We share the mind of God Shiva at this superconscious depth of our being. In entering this quiescence, one first encounters a clear white light within the body, but only after sufficient mastery of the mind has been attained through the disciplined and protracted practices of yoga. Hearing the veena, the mridangam, the tambura, and all the psychic sounds is the awakening of the inner body, which, if sadhana is pursued, will finally grow and stabilize, opening the mind to the constant state of Satchit Ananda, where the holy inner mind of God Shiva and our soul are one. I hold that Satchit Ananda, the light and consciousness ever permeating form, God in all things and everywhere, is form, though refined form, to be sure. Satchit Ananda is pure form, pure consciousness, pure blessedness or bliss, our soul's perfection in form. Parashiva is formless, timeless, causeless, spaceless, as the perfection of our soul beyond form. Though it is supreme consciousness, Satchit Ananda is not the ultimate realization, which lies beyond consciousness or mind. This differs from popular interpretations of present-day Vedanta, which makes these two perfections virtually synonymous. Modern Vedanta scholars occasionally describe Satchit Ananda almost as a state of the intellect, as though the perfected intellect, through knowledge, could attain such depths, as though these depths were but a philosophical premise or collection of beliefs and insights. This is what I call simplistic Vedanta. To understand how these two perfections differ, visualize a vast sheath of light which permeates the walls of this monastery and the countryside around us, seeping in and through all particles of matter. The light could well be called formless, penetrating as it does all conceivable forms, never static, always changing. Actually, it is amorphous, not formless. Taking this one step farther, suppose there were something so great, so intense in vibration that it could swallow up light as well as the forms it permeates. This cannot be described, but can be called Parashiva, the greatest of all of God Shiva's perfections to be realized. This too can be experienced by the yogi in Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Thus, we understand Parashiva as the perfection known in Nirvikalpa Samadhi and Satchit Ananda as the perfection experienced in Salvakalpa Samadhi. By the word formless, I do not describe that which can take any form or that which is of no definite shape and size. I mean without form altogether, beyond form, beyond the mind, which conceives of form and space, for mind and consciousness too, our form. Gurudev is trying to make it clear what's the difference between Parashiva and Satchit Ananda and what exactly the word formless means to him. So sometimes the word formless is used to describe something that's amorphous, that has no distinct form. You can take water. Water is amorphous. It's flowing all over. It has no distinct form. You can freeze it and you can create something that has a distinct form. Air has no distinct form, but it could be frozen and have a distinct form. So amorphous means that which is of no particular form. But by formless, Gurudeva means it's stepping out of the whole process, the whole realm of time, form, and space. You're stepping out of it. Anything in the realm of time, form, and space, even that which is amorphous, you're stepping out of that and then coming back into that. So that's what Nirvikalpa Samadhi is. Entering a realm that's formless, timeless, spaceless, and causeless. Thus the emphasis of this is being clear on such that Ananda is amorphous. It has a, it's not beyond form. It permeates form, but that is an amorphous state. Whereas Parashiva transcends even that. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful phase.